Good vach. I hope you had a wonderful and fantastic, amazing Shabbos. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single daily Lenishmas of Imori, Rav Hill, Bemeir, Chil Mechel, Arini, Kaparas, Mishkobel, and Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Levracha. We are in Masechta Melachim, and we are up to Perek Tezvav. And during the 18th year of Yerubim's rule, Aviyam took over for his father Rechavam and Malchus Yehuda. He would rule for 3 years. The truth is, his name was Aviyah. Right? Similar to the son of Yerubim. But people called him Aviyam, so that Aviyam would be established similar to Rechavam, and Aviyah would become known as the son of Yerubim. Aviyam was the son of Macha bas Avishalom. She was a terrible person, just like her father, and her son went in his ways as well. The truth is, until he became king, he was a pretty decent guy, say the Mefarshim. But once he became king, he became overcome with gaiva, and some say that Rechavam deliberately sinned before him to get him used to becoming a pretty decent, comfortable bad guy. But Aviyam didn't sin like his father, and he was considered relatively righteous, but he didn't get rid of the avodah zarah that his father established as the Malbim. And so the Nabi points out that his lave was not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like David HaMelech. And because of his sins, it would have been more fitting for Aviyam to fall in battle when he fought against Yerubim. But miraculously he won, and it wasn't in his own merit, but it was in the merit of David and Yerushalayim, so that the Zerah of David could maintain its Malchus. And the Kedusha that David had established would influence his children and descendants for many generations. And this merit was because David HaMelech carried out the word of Hashem throughout his life, with the exception of killing Uriah Achiti, which should have been done by a Beis Din. Now, the war between Yisrael and Yehuda began between Rechavam and Yerubim, and it continues throughout Aviyam's life. And in fact, in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, which parallels Sefer Melachim, in this case we're dealing with Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, we describe the war in detail, and how many people fell within Am Yisrael. Yerubim couldn't prevail against Aviyam, but when Aviyam conquered Betel from Am Yisrael, he didn't destroy the Egel in the house of Avodah Zarah, and for that, he got a sickness. And for that, he ruled only for 3 years. And he's buried near David, and Asa takes over after him. It should be pointed out that sometimes people get great moments in history to rise to those great moments, and hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, they do. Sometimes you get a chance to get rid of an Avodah Zarah, whether it be on Har Avayis or whether it be in Betel. We have to get rid of that Avodah Zarah. And during the 20th year of Yerubim, Asa begins his rule over Yehuda. And his malchus lasts for 41 years, during which time there were 8 kings who were ruling over Am Yisrael. Yerubim, Nadav, Baasha, Ela, Zimri, Tivni, Imri, and Achav. And Asa was raised by his grandmother, who was Macha bas Avishalom, who served Avodah Zarah, but he totally negated her. He did what was righteous in the eyes of Hashem, and also in the eyes of David, in the way that David would have. He got rid of all the prostitution, says Rashi, and all of the Avodah Zarah of his fathers from the land. He got rid of his mother, Macha, from being queen. She wanted to be queen, and Rashi says, he took her off so she shouldn't steer people towards Avodah Zarah. And because of the Avodah Zarah, she served in the image she had made for it. So he burns all these things and into ash, into Nachal Kidron, so no one would be able to get any benefit from it. But Rak HaBamos Lo Saru. He doesn't get rid of the Bamos. He doesn't get rid of the breakaway Mizbachos, the private altars that are used to serve Hashem after Shiloh's destruction. Once the Beis HaMikdash was completed, there was an Isser Bamos, even if it was used L'Shem Shemayim. Still asked the reason that it was better to leave them so that the people wouldn't go to Avodah Zarah like their brothers in the Aseres HaShvatim. So Asa doesn't get rid of the Bamos, and what winds up happening is that it blocks the Shekhinah of Kedusha showering onto the nation. And so after Shishak takes the treasures of the Beis HaMikdash, Rechavam hid anything that was there because he was afraid that people would want it and they would take it. He wasn't concerned about this. Asa doesn't become concerned about this, and since he wanted to beautify the Beis HaMikdash, he takes his gold and his father's gold and kelim out of concealment, and he brings them to the Beis HaMikdash. Aviyam donated these treasures back to the Beis HaMikdash, and later he takes them back. Asa returns them, and he brings his own. Meantime, in Malchus Yisrael, Nadav, one of Yerubam's sons, takes over the throne in the second year of Asa's rule. Nadav rules for 2 years, and he follows the ways of his father, doing evil and causing Am Yisrael to sin. And as Nadav was fighting against the Plishtim in Gibson, a man from Yisachar, Basha ben Achia, leads a rebellion, kills Nadav. Basha now takes over as Malach Yisrael, and he wipes out Yerubam's whole household. No one stayed, just like Achia Shiloni had promised in yesterday's shir, right? And all this was because Yerubam sinned, and he caused Am Yisrael to sin. And Yerubam knew that his creator intended to anger him and rebel against Hashem. And so even though Basha's eradicating the house of Yerubam had been foretold, Basha wasn't concerned with ending the evil reign of Yerubam. He wanted to take over the Malchus, and he got rid of Nadav, as Nadav was involved in the Melchemes Hashem, fighting one of the last strongholds of the Plishtim. For this, too, Basha gets punished, and Basha rules over Am Yisrael for 24 years, during which there was constantly a war between him and Asa. Basha sees that Asa was a tzaddik, and many of the people were starting to leave in order to join serving Hashem, and so he goes to Yehuda, and he builds a tall tower opposite the gateway to Yerushalayim, and from that tower he throws stones over anyone who's trying to go into the chelek of Am Yisrael, of Malchus Yehuda. And sensing that his Malchus and the Beis HaMikdash were in danger, so Asa recalls that David was held accountable for not using the treasures set aside for the Mikdash to feed the people during famine. And so he takes the treasures in the Beis HaMikdash and he sends them to Hadad Melech Aram. And the servants who were sent give his message to Hadad that there's a bris between me and you and between my father and your father. And here's the gold and silver as a bribe that you should get rid of the covenant, the promise that you made with Basha, and go to war against him. So Hadad carries out the request, and he attacks the land of Naphtali. And when Basha hears about the attack, he abandons the tower, and he runs away to Tirza, afraid of the king of Aram. And Asa orders all of the people of Yehuda to dismantle the tower. Even Chasanim couldn't go ahead and hide from it. So he builds up Geva, Binyamin, and Mitzpah, which fortifies the land of Yehuda and Binyamin. And in that sense, Asa is recognized as Klei Yakar, as a complete tzaddik, even though his name testifies to the fragrant smell. Asa is a hadas. He gets buried near David, and Yehoshaphat rules after him, and everything Asa did was matzliach. But at the end of his years, he develops an ailment in his feet. He was chiger beraglav, which the Gemara identifies as a reason for it. And so although Asa was a tzaddik and Basha did well getting rid of the house of Yerubam, they stay at war throughout their malchus. Asa doesn't seek peace because Basha continues the evil ways of Yerubam, which causes Bnei Yisrael to sin, and he couldn't bring the sin back into the house. So we're going to stop here, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue. Everybody have a wonderful week.